Hi, and welcome to this, our Thin Within podcast, Thin Within on the Go. I'm Heidi Bylsma-Epperson, one of your hosts and the owner and lead coach of thinwithin.org.
And I'm Christina Motley, your other host, also a Thin Within coach, and also Heidi's partner in all things Thin Within. Welcome. We're so glad you're here for Thin Within on the Go.
Yay. We wanted to follow our previous podcast episode, which provided strategies for avoiding holiday eating mishaps with, okay, so what happens if you do have a holiday eating mishap? Let's say failure.
Failure.
What to do when you have a holiday failure. Let's just be straight about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are the thoughts we should take with us into our failures, Christina?
Well, I mean, one of the things that we mentioned in the last podcast was what a relief it is just to kind of let go of that idea of perfectionism. So I just want to mention that again. It's like,
definitely,
let's plan, because we know we're going to slip. We're going to stumble. We're going to fail. We know it. It's going to happen. Of course it is. I know it's going to happen for me probably today or tomorrow. So let's be ready and not have that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Try to be perfect.
Yeah. You know, God doesn't put that pressure on us.
No.
He knows that we are but dust, and he anticipates. That's why Jesus died. It's so that we could have his blood applied to our mess ups, our failures, our sin. And no, it doesn't mean that we are going to sin all the more so that grace may increase, like Paul says in Romans. Not at all. No way. But what it does mean is that when we fail, we're not going to be defined by it.
Well, and I think for me, one of the things that was such a game changer in my journey was realizing that failure is not something I need to be afraid of anymore. You know, I used to be afraid of it. And I used to think, if I fail, then everything I've already done is wasted.
Oh,
and that's not true. That's
not
true. That's what the enemy would love for me to believe and dwell in and get stuck in, like my feet in molasses. Like I cannot move because I have wasted time again.
Yeah.
And maybe you can relate to that. I don't know. Did you used to feel that way, Heidi?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like, as I entered into the Thin Within approach, I brought with me my dieting math mentality, which said that, you know, if I had counted my points or counted my calories or counted my blocks back in the zone days or whatever I was counting, and at the end of the day had just 15 minutes where I was off the rails, all the math wiped everything out, because now I had messed up royally. Within, we have a totally different approach that says every moment matters.
Yes.
Every moment that I capture for surrender and obedience to God is a moment that he treasures in my life. Mm-hmm. And if I have moment upon moment upon moment where, like even right now, if you all are listening to this podcast and you're not gorging yourself on food, you know, those are moments captured for Christ. Call them victorious.
Yes,
absolutely. And at the end of the day, if you have a few moments where you go sideways and you lack discretion and discernment and eat more food than you wish you had afterwards, that doesn't define the rest of the day. It doesn't say none of the rest of the surrender happened. You were surrendered all day. And that's a beautiful thing. God celebrates those surrendered moments.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to help you through strategizing for the future, looking at what, and this is one of our strategies after a failure, is look and learn. Can I bring those last 5 minutes where I just inhaled whatever it was, the Annie Faye cookies or something, whatever it was, can I bring that to him and say, God, would you show me what it was that was going on deep beneath the surface? Because something caused me to let go of my godly boundaries and to just plunge into this full throttle. Mm-hmm. I want to be equipped for victory going forward. And I know you can redeem this stumble so that I can learn from it. I can learn from it. So yes, that's what we want to do for sure.
Yeah. So if I'm looking at my failures or I'm looking ahead, knowing that I'm going to fail or stumble or whatever, I can actually renew my mind by saying, this is valuable. There is value in this. It's going to be vital for my journey to know how to handle failure in a healthy way. I know, Heidi, that you've often said, let's learn how to fail forward or how to fail well. Mm-hmm. Because we want to use that. We want to learn. And I want to be teachable. Mm-hmm. I've been doing things in a very dysfunctional way with food and eating for a long, long time. I mean, much better in the last few years, but really it's been a long haul for me of, you know, failure after failure after failure. So I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to be in a place of humble teachability, you know, Lord, show me, teach me. And that's what brings value. So it's not a waste. It's not a waste of time.
No, it definitely isn't. And recognizing that in God's great economy, the math isn't the same as it was in our dieting days. It's just not because he cherishes each moment we walk in surrender. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about eating because that the bite is sinful. That's not what we're talking about. It's when I turn my back on his leadership, that's what I want to bring to God and say, okay, you were leading me to say no. And I said, yes, instead I gave in. What can I do with this? And so we want to just share with you the value of this look and learn tool. It's previously in our resources being called observation and correction. And it's basically confession and repentance. If I can be quite honest with you, it's being willing to invite God in. Now, this is what happens when I just do it in my flesh, because we tend to think, okay, well, I did that and this is what I got from it. Okay. So I went to the cookie exchange. I had renewed my mind ahead of time, reminded myself that cookies are just food. I can have them anytime I'm at a zero or whatever it is. And so I did all of those strategies in the previous episode and I drove my car to the cookie exchange. What is true, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe somebody said something and I found myself a little emotional. I mean, I felt hurt or excluded. And my old go-to when I feel rejection was sweets. So I'm there and I've got my little box of everybody's cookie exchange cookies and, but there's extras. And so people are eating cookies and I go for it. And so what do I do with that? Well, in my flesh, I would say, okay, the next day, perhaps maybe that night, I'm looking at that failure and saying, well, I just shouldn't go to a cookie exchange anymore. Well, is that God's solution or is that kind of superficial? That's kind of superficial when you think about it. And I think God wants to use these opportunities to show us what needs healing, not just what needs fixing in my flesh. In fact, I want to repent of trying to fix myself and I don't want to go there again. I want to invite God to show me. So I bring it to him and I, you know, it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, I think it is, that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways, even your mess ups, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He has wisdom for me. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Well, even a cookie exchange mishap is something I can call to him about and say, okay, I know that this looks to me like it was just a matter of me being rebellious or me being self-indulgent or me this. Is that true, God? What is it? What is the mind of Christ about what was going on in me? And I find that when I do that, God takes me places that it's so sweet to walk with him to get there. And he shows me what he has in mind for my future. So he might show me that, okay, you bungeed back in time to when another friend, when you were 12, said X, Y, or Z, and you ran inside and grabbed cookies and inhaled them. That has happened to me before. And so he might say to me, what you want to do is root yourself in me and your identity in Christ. You are more than a conqueror in Christ, child. You are my beloved. You are my betrothed. You are my precious one. All of the things he says about me are true, no matter what rejection I feel or exclusion mm-hmm. I feel yes. in an event or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's just an example, but where he will remind me, okay, the next time you're getting ready to go to an event, let's say it's a women's ministries event, I want you to renew your mind with truth about who I say you are. Mm-hmm. And there's resources for that. Who I Am in Christ is a great resource that we have. Mm-hmm. And so come to thinwithin.team and ask us for it if you don't have it yet. Anyway, and then I go into the event having renewed my mind about, you know what, no matter how I feel here, God is looking on me with delight. I am his precious one. I am a treasure. He has esteemed me, the Bible says, and that will help me not bungee and use my cookie issue to comfort myself and that sort of thing. So look and learn causes us to learn lessons from the mess up. Mm-hmm. And then we are equipped for victory the next time. Christina, what are your thoughts about that?
I was just thinking as you were talking about all the times that I thought I had all the answers for myself. You know, I would have something happen like what you just shared with the cookie mishap or whatever, and I would turn around and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I just need to stop doing that. I need to stop overindulging. I need to stop being such a glutton or whatever. I just
right usually with it. A healthy dose of self-condemnation, right?
Yes. Like, what's the matter with me? I can't believe I did that again. Like I did right. it last week too. Why can't I just learn the lesson and stop it?
Oh, and how do we think Jesus feels about the way we talk to ourselves?
No. I mean, that grieves him, of course, because he made me fearfully and wonderfully. I'm his masterpiece. You just said that I am his beloved. And so I'm talking about his beloved in this way. And I know mm-hmm. that it grieves him. Mm-hmm. And it certainly doesn't help me at all.
No,
not at all. Mm-hmm. And so what I love about look and learn or observation and correction, what I love about look and learn is that it is about turning to God and asking him for his wisdom, which, like you said, it goes so much deeper than my own thoughts. And mm-hmm. so he shows me, well, Christina, you were wounded in this way, or Christina, remember this, or let me bring this to your mind. Mm-hmm. And he gives me thoughts and ideas. I might journal about it. I might go on a drive and talk to him. He's going to show me wisdom that has so much more depth than what I come up with on my own, which is usually just the same thing every single time. Mm-hmm. but he comes up with beautiful, beautiful lessons and truths and insights for me that I can remember and renew my mind about for the next time in a situation that's similar. So that's really where I grow.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
I don't want to just be stuck in the same place all the time, which,
right.
you know, that's where I was for a very long right. time.
Me too.
I want to be growing. I want to be changing. I want to be looking into a future that looks different for me.
Right.
Where my behaviors have changed.
Right.
And I've worked
right.
through these things with the Lord one by one, by one,
right.
one step at a time. So I love that about look and learn. It is an amazing life-giving strategy for failure that really brings redemption and joy and learning.
Right. Absolutely. And I love the truth that really, with the Lord, the only true failure is the failure that I fail to learn from. Mm-hmm. And so it's the failure that I don't bring to him. And so from his perspective, I just picture him holding out his arms and saying, bring it to me, come to me, let me embrace you, let me comfort you. He delights over us with singing. He comforts us with his love. In fact, I love that he refers to himself as the God of all comfort. One of the things that we do in our From Failure to Freedom coaching groups is we have a look at several passages of scripture, and I'm just going to bring them to your attention. I won't quote them chapter and verse, but there's the Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus meets with Peter after he's denied Christ, and the woman caught in adultery. And we look at how does our God respond to the failure of his people? And when we look at the gentleness, the kindness, the grace and truth, because he doesn't leave it on. I mean, he is so amazingly compassionate, and he speaks with each one, and restoration is what he wants. And so when I look at that, and I look at how I for years handled my failures, it's like they don't match. They don't match. And I really think we have this tendency to think that, okay, two wrongs somehow make a right. So if I go off the rails with my eating and then I beat myself up for it, somehow that's going to work in changing me around, when Jesus himself wouldn't do that. In fact, he's probably standing there saying, wait, my blood covered any sin that you committed. Let me cleanse you. Let me welcome you back. Let's be restored, child. And I mean, I think of the scriptures that apply to this, things like Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing. And other passages like John 3:17, which says that God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Condemnation is counter to the very cross of Christ. He took all the shame, all the sin, all the condemnation with him to the cross. It was dead. It was buried. And when he rose from the grave, he applied to us, God applied to us the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin was made sin on our behalf so that in him we might become, the righteousness of God. And that is the mind of Christ about my failures. So when I go to him,
that's amazing.
It is. I mean, we could just stop right here. And it's like, if I could go through my life and recognize that I can't hate myself into positive change, and recognize that Christ's example that I want to emulate is one of curious compassion, of love, of grace and truth towards myself and my mess ups, I think my life would be transformed.
That sounds really, 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 really good.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Well, and one of the other things that happens when we go to God with our mess ups is that there's an intimacy between us that increases.
Yes.
And I love that. I mean, how do we increase our intimacy with God? I hear people saying all the time, you know, I want to be closer with God. I want to know him more. How do I do that? How do I sense him more often? Things like that. This is one of the best ways. Bring your mess ups to him and ask his spirit to speak to you. And God is just waiting. He's just waiting for the opportunity for us to come to him. So I love that. I love that the intimacy between the Lord and I deepens when I come to him for this, for look and learn. I love that.
I do too. I think of Psalm 51, where David, he had been confronted by the prophet Nathan, I think, who had kind of done a word picture to confront David about his sin with Bathsheba. And David took the bait about this man who had a sheep or something like that. And Nathan said, you are the man who has taken the only sheep. And And David was smitten with his own sin. And he, that's where he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And in some translations, that verse is translated, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I love that prayer. I love that prayer. It's so honest because it says sometimes I'm not willing. And we want to give that to God, that unwillingness. God, I give it to you. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain my resolve, to sustain my commitment, to keep walking this out. But we don't want to run from God when we wreck. I mean, David didn't run from God in that moment. He'd been running for a couple of years, I think. But we don't want to keep running from God. We want, if anything, to be intentional to turn to him. Because as we turn to him, he's right there. He's been right there all along. And he embraces us and says, I have something so much better for you than beating yourself up. There is no condemnation for you, child. Not at all. You are in Christ. His righteousness is applied to your account. Again, it doesn't mean we want to sin all the more so that grace may increase. Like Paul says, it never be. And it's true that the same grace, Titus tells us, the same grace that brings salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. That's true. But beating ourselves up is yet another sin. And I don't want to go there. I want to emulate Christ's example of how he handles my failure. And he handles it by being compassionate.
He sure does. One other thing I wanted to mention is a lot of us get stuck, myself included for a long, long time, get stuck in taking a long time to get to this. You know, we have the failure and or whatever it is. And then we think, you know, oh, you know, I'm just going to think about it for a long time, or I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen. Or, or, you know, I'm just,
not going to do it ever again.
I'm just not going to do it anymore. And, you know, things will be better next week when I'm less stressed. Kind of come up with all of this because we don't want to go to the Lord, because we think, oh, I need to get myself all together. I need to get my ducks in a row before I go to the Lord. But really what we have found with our participants in Thin Within is that the faster they go to the Lord, the faster they get this kind of this step done, this look and learn, the better it is. And the more quickly they go along their journey to freedom,
food
and eating. It's like, let's just do it right now. Or if you can't do it in the moment, then make a quick appointment with the Lord. Lord, I'm going to meet you in my backyard in the blue chair at 5 o'clock tonight when I get home from work. And we're going to talk about this for 10 minutes. Let's just get it done and move right on.
That's a really, really good point. In our coaching groups, the Fresh Wind, Fresh Desire coaching groups, we often ask, what are some things you have looked and learned? What are lessons you have learned from the Lord during this coaching group session? And we do that in our last meeting together.
Oh, I love those calls.
Oh, I do too. The things that people share that they have learned through look and learn of their eating mishaps blows my mind. It could be a book of wisdom for people. I mean, it's just so good.
Beautiful lists and lists of things.
And so this, while it may sound like it's going to take effort, while it might make sound like, oh, but I don't need to do that. I already know what I need to do differently. Oh, please just turn to God and just give him a minute to say, no, wait, let's go a little deeper, child. Let's go a little deeper. I want to heal something that's there. I want to bring you to a place of fruitfulness and abundance and victory and go forward in being equipped for that as you continue on this path. And that is what you can experience if you, after a eating failure, even during the holidays, if you bring that failure, that mess up, that slip, stumble, fall, whatever it might be, to the Lord, he will give you some strategies to move forward in the rest of the holiday season and the rest of the year. It's awesome.
Yes. And you might have the very best holiday season with food and eating that you've ever had.
Exactly.
It really could happen.
It really could. It really could. So thanks for joining us during this busy time of year.
And thank you for being here.
We look forward to seeing you the next time with our next episode of Thin Within.
On the go. See you next time.